At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Giving away another $100 gift card today to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. So tweet us at 102.5 underscore MD. If you got broken up with on Christmas, we'll try to make that bad story for you in the past a positive thing. So tweet us your questions. Preds back on the ice tonight. Pregame at 5, puck drop at 6. That hour early Eastern Conference start against the Buffalo Sabres up on the road. They are a very good team at home. And they are in second place in the division, so this is not going to be an easy up and back for the Predators, but a huge opportunity to pick up 2 points. And then, of course, Dallas, a team they are chasing directly in the standings ahead of them. I think they're 6 points back of the Dallas Stars. An opportunity on Saturday night. Again, and also an interesting start time there, 5:30 on Saturday. Keep that in mind, a 5:30 start time on Saturday. ESPN 102.5 The Game is bringing you the road to Dallas, Nashville's best coverage of the Winter Classic. Keep up with all that you need to know about the Winter Classic as the Preds face the Stars in Dallas on New Year's Day. Special programming and live coverage from Dallas all month long. Hit up thegamenashville.com for full programming information. The Road to Dallas is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank, Firestone, and Sudden Service Convenience Store. If you got a chance to go to the Cotton Bowl for a hockey game, that's just stinking cool. So it's going to be a ton of fun. I was thinking about this, and also there's a we have a discussion. I watched the HBO documentary last night about Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. Really fascinating. It was awesome. I just thought it was great. Well done. The two of them sitting down in Saban's house and talking a lot. It was a fantastic watch. There is a potential shot at Jeremy Pruitt and Kirby Smart in there. We'll discuss that coming up in just a few minutes. But I was curious, now that all the SEC coaches have been set and settled in place, you've got Eli Drinkwitz now at Missouri, who comes from Appalachian State. You've got Sam Pittman, who was the offensive line coach at Georgia, who's now the head coach at Arkansas. And of course, Lane Kiffin, the Lane train, back in the SEC at Ole Miss. And I was curious about this because I think there's a tier of coaches at the top that's Nick Saban, Dan Mullen, Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, Gus Malzahn, Coach O. Those top six are sort of aside, they're apart from everybody else. Saban's apart from everybody, but really there's that top tier of guys that has competed for national championships, you know, elite-level coaches, right? Oh, Malzahn, Smart, Fisher, Mullen, Saban. I put those guys in their own category. My question is, who's the best guy in the next tier in the SEC? And I think I've got it down to three guys, and I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. Mark Stoops at Kentucky, Jeremy Pruitt now at Tennessee with what he's accomplished, and Lane Kiffin. I want to know if Tennessee fans right now, Lane Kiffin or Jeremy Pruitt. I think they would stay. I think almost everybody would stay with Jeremy Pruitt and see this thing out, see it through, because he showed so much progress. I think you could argue Jeremy Pruitt is the best coach currently of that next tier of coaches, because I would say Mark Stoops, but what's Mark Stoops' record against Jeremy Pruitt? He's 0-2. He's lost both games against the Vols. And one of them was the best Kentucky team they've had in 40 years. I think you could argue that Jeremy Pruitt is the best coach of that next tier of coaches in the SEC. Not something we would have said going into last year, and not something we would have said after last year.
So you said Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher.
Two national title rings.
Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart's been to the championship game. You got to put him in there.
Gus Malzahn. Yep. So those are the...
No, Coach O.
Coach O. Yeah, so you got to throw Coach O in there now.
And Dan Mullen.
So those six coaches.
I think that's the top tier of coaches.
And then you said the next tier is...
Who do you think's the best of the next tier?
boy.
Who would you hire right now today if you're Tennessee and you could hire Mark Stoops, Jeremy Pruitt, or Lane Kiffin? Who are you hiring? I think you'd hire Jeremy Pruitt.
I don't know. I might.
I think all three of those teams would stick with their guy, to be honest. I think Kentucky fans would say, no, I want Stoops.
I don't know. I might hire Stoops. I might hire Stoops first.
I don't think his upside is what Tennessee fans
want. He's helped build that program.
But I think
since he's been there,
You're right.
He's built that program since he's been there, and yes, they've underachieved at times, but he has built that program into a winning program. Jeremy Pruitt is on his way to building UT to a winning program. He's shown that he is capable of keeping a team together in the midst of a bunch of stuff going on. And then Lane Kiffin, well, hell, he's just Lane Kiffin. And some drama's going to come
you
with
just,
him.
You just
whether it be good or bad.
Yeah, you just say his name, yeah. And everybody knows what that means.
Exactly. Lane Kiffin.
Lane Trainer. We're like,
okay. But here's the thing about
– Like, I don't think –
Here's the thing about Lane. He has the potential.
Yes.
If he keeps his nose clean, he has the potential of – being a guy that takes that program and make it a consistent 8-win, 9-win program consistently because of the way he recruits.
And I think Jeremy Pruitt, I'm with, like, Lane Kiffin has the most upside. Jeremy Pruitt might take some time because he's learning how to be a head coach. Clearly, we've seen that over the first 2 years. It's taken him a long time to show that, like, hey, this process, trust the process, is working. Sort of like how the 76ers process took a very long time to come to fruition. I don't think Mark Stoops could win big enough at Tennessee, and I think that's why he's not the right guy for Florida State, even though he had lots of ties to Florida State. I think they went with a guy like Mike Norvell from Memphis because there's more upside there. There's more risk involved, but there's more upside there. I think Jeremy Pruitt has more upside than Mark Stoops, but I think there's more risk. I just don't think you're Tennessee. You don't hire low-risk candidates. You're trying to win national championships. At Tennessee, Lane Kiffin is a high-risk, high-reward candidate. Mm-hmm. And Ole Miss is taking a risk. It's what you have to do at a place like Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. But Jeremy Pruitt would have been 12th, 13th, 14th last year.
Oh, yeah, he would have been low.
Going into this season.
Some people had him at 11. Some people had him lower than that.
He would have been he was 5-7 his first year, good recruiting class. But, like, Barry Odom had accomplished more at Missouri. He was undefeated in November. Like,
People had Derek Mason ahead of him.
Right. He had beaten him.
Yeah, exactly.
And embarrassed him, frankly, straight up. So if you're going to use the head-to-head argument with Stoops, then you have to acknowledge that Derek Mason got the better of you last year.
Exactly.
Now that's flipped now that Pruitt has developed. I think this year Jeremy Pruitt made the biggest jump of any coach in the SEC from a respect standpoint. I think he went from sort of, we have no idea. We're not really sure. Mm-hmm. We learned nothing about him last year. We're not sure if he's good or bad. He's one of the bottom coaches in the SEC. Three guys get fired, and he moves up the ranks. And he has a good second half to the season. I think he's made the biggest jump of anybody. Now, Coach O's made a big jump, too, but he's sort of on a different tier. They're 13-0. They're playing for the national title. They're number one. So that's a different level.
Well, it's not even just that. He was good last year, too.
Like, he was good last year.
If the Texas A&M game went their way, they probably still would have been a top 10 team.
Yeah, but I also think there's an inherent bias against Coach O, which is the same thing that happened with Dabo at the beginning of Clemson, which is why I compare them all summer long. I just think Pruitt has made the biggest jump of anybody in the SEC this season. In 2019, you could argue he was 11th, 12th, 13th in the SEC, whatever. And now you're talking about him being the top candidate of the second-tier candidates, a guy that could, if everything continues to progress, could work his way into the conversation. Like, if they go 9-3 next year, we're going to start talking about him in the same conversation as Gus Malzahn and Dan Mullen and these guys. Now, he needs to win a division. He needs to accomplish something to start earning that. But I think the trajectory is clearly there for Jeremy Pruitt. No idea if it's going to happen. No idea if it's going to work out. But am I wrong? Nobody made a bigger jump than Jeremy Pruitt.
No, I agree.
And he lost to Georgia State and BYU in the process.
What he can't do is fall into, because remember, people, Butch Jones had the same two-year trajectory. Mm-hmm. Like, he won 5 games his first year, then he ended up going to a bowl game his second, and then 9 wins after that, but
it was 5-7-9-9.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as long as he doesn't fall in that trajectory as Butch Jones did, then
just,
I think he'd be
he doesn't have the shtick as Butch Jones, and I think that's why people feel like it's more authentic, like it's more genuine behind the scenes from a development standpoint.
Here's the question. Which one of these new coaches, whether it's Lane, whether it's Eli, how you put it?
Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, yeah, or Sam Pittman. Which one of these new coaches is going to – now, I think maybe Drinkwitz is at a sort of a disadvantage because of that program. Pittman might be as well.
I think Sam Pittman is I think he's a really good dude. I think
he comes from Appalachian State. They were good.
He ran NC State's offense when they were. I think Eli Drinkwitz is a very good coach.
You think are those three coaches will have the biggest jump this year? Their team will have the biggest
jump. Ole Miss because Kiffin's offense and they've got a quarterback. You know, you're losing Kelly Bryant. You know, but they also play in the West. So I don't know. That's a great question. I think Sam Pittman is clearly the worst hire. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's been given an opportunity because he's been around a long time and because he coached at Arkansas in the past under Bielema. Like it doesn't feel like he's got a lot of upside to me, and that's unfair to him. He's a really good offensive line coach. He's a good recruiter, but can he lead a program? Can he be a CEO? And it's a really tough job at Arkansas. That's a tough job.
I'll ask this then: since we have Jeremy Pruitt kind of moving up, is Jeremy Pruitt on his own tier of the move? Like he can fall into that first tier because we have Joe Moorhead, we have the Will Muschamps,
is he
then
the
we
only
have Derek
guy
Mason,
that
and then we
that
have new coaches
is trending up. Is he the only guy? Take away Ed Orgeron.
Take away Coach O.
Yeah, put Ed Orgeron to the side because obviously he is. Is he the only coach from last year that is trending up?
Yeah, I mean, he's jumped Will Muschamp. Because Will Muschamp, again, 9-win season 2 years ago and has owned Tennessee. So you had to have Will Muschamp ahead of Jeremy Pruitt last year. That's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. They go 4-8 and Tennessee wins that game, dominates them in the second half. I think you've got to go Pruitt over Muschamp now. So Muschamp is trending in the wrong direction. Derek Mason is trending. Mason might have been ahead of him last year, and Derek Mason is trending in the wrong direction.
I think Stoops has stayed even keel because you got to understand he lost a lot of guys from last season. He's working with a quarterback
he won 7 games at Kentucky with a wide receiver at quarterback. I'm sorry, that's accomplishing something.
So he didn't
great talent.
Because I see it like this: to me, with all the talent that he lost, the quarterback situation, even though their record wasn't like it was last year, I still don't see him as trending down.
And Joe Moorhead trended down for Mississippi State. So I think Pruitt has jumped like 5 of these guys.
Yeah.
And I think Tennessee fans have reason for optimism. Now, let's see what he does in the signing period, which is next Wednesday. Let's see what how they just got the kid out of Memphis, the big defensive tackle. We'll see what the recruiting trail looks like for Tennessee going into the early signing period next Wednesday, and then the real signing period, of course, or I guess the late one. I don't know what you call the one in February now, because like next week is like the one now. Again, I think like 77% of kids signed last year. Kiffin's the wild card, of course, because that's what he is. He's born to be a wild card.
But real quick, what's funny about all this is you remember like early on in this like football season with the Titans and the Vols, people were calling for Pruitt and Vrabel's heads. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, yesterday we praised Vrabel for giving him credit for the turnaround. Now we're moving Jeremy Pruitt up to another tenure. That's why I say let the season play out before you start making these assumptions about people.
100%. It's so week to week. Football is such a week to week, month to month sport. We were talking about should the Titans draft Jake Fromm like a month and a half ago. Now Jake Fromm is so bad that he can't go to the NFL. Yeah. He's got to stay in college. and Mike Vrabel's like, and Ryan Tannehill are like gonna win the Super Bowl. The way football can change in like a 6 week period is remarkable. And you're right. Tennessee Vols and Tennessee Titans fans, the change has been remarkable in the final half of the season for both of them. Did Nick Saban take a shot at Jeremy Pruitt? He also took a shot at some players as well. We'll explain. And then I've got a question about Tennessee that I've got some concerns about Tennessee football in the offseason. We'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. At 102.5_MD, tweet us your breakup story from Christmas. And if you had a bad one, we'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. I tried to say your name yesterday, and I screwed it up, so I don't want to try again. It's Amarillis. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know.
Amarillis, maybe? This happened a few years
ago.
Yeah,
Amarillis.
This happened a few years ago, but I was dating someone, and they pretty much broke up with me right after I gave them their Christmas presents and didn't even tell me thank you for the gifts. Last time I dated somebody. Wow, it's led to, like, not dating anybody ever.
Man,
again.
They broke your heart that bad?
Now, Alondra moved from Orlando to Clarksville to be with a guy.
I wonder, did they move in together?
Well, she's now married to somebody else, and he's now married to someone else. So
but I'm
it
saying,
all
like,
out.
When she moved here, did they move in together?
That's not information we need to know, Derek.
Yeah, we do.
That's personal.
Because that makes it even worse. No, if you move in with someone, and then they break up with you a year later...
Yeah,
that's worse.
Well, see, I don't know because
they made you move.
See, in one case, we have someone, both people, everybody moved on. This person has not.
Yeah, yeah.
This person has not dated since.
She's not dating.
So she's kind of in the. It's kind of in the lead a little bit. Maybe by a field goal, she's in the lead right now. But it's tied
going into the fourth quarter.
Man,
so tweet us your breakup stories from Christmas at 1025 the game or at 1025 underscore MD the Morning Drive account. Here is Nick Saban. So great show. The Art of Coaching on HBO with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick. If you're a football nerd, just getting to listen to those guys. And then, you know, Miss Terry's on there as well. So it's a really fascinating watch. It's a great watch. A lot of insight into how those guys work and how they tick and how they became the way they are and why they see how they see the game of football and coaching mm-hmm. and dealing with young people. It's fascinating to watch. But this was I noticed this comment from Nick Saban about coaching staffs and taking people from his coaching staff. And you guys tell me if this is a shot at Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt.
We've always had sort of a mutual respect for how we sort of take each other's people. And it's one thing that I always try to emphasize to the guys. What I have a tough time with, all right, is we've had however many guys that have worked here that are at Georgia, Tennessee, or whoever, wherever, is when they get those jobs, and in most cases, you help them, that they have a hard time understanding why they can't take your people. You know, I'm going to help you get a job so that you can take what I've tried to build here and destroy the continuity of what I have. And it's amazing how some of the assistants don't understand why that's not a good thing.
Nick.
I don't think it's a shot specifically at Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt. I think they're just the latest two names, and they also happen to be in the SEC. And Saban happens to play Tennessee every year and has played Georgia in major situations recently. I think Kirby Smart did some really dirty stuff leaving Alabama with recruiting stuff, taking photos, you know, allegedly taking photos of, like, recruiting boards and, like, you know, all kinds of weird stories about the Kirby Smart, you know, leaving. Jeremy Pruitt, you know, took Brandon Kennedy, I think, and then they tried to take some coaches. I don't think it's a shot at them necessarily. But I also think, Nick, dude, like, it's part of the game. Like, if a coach is going to leave and you got good people on your staff, there's a chance that somebody might try to take them.
Yeah. Nick, this is what happens. Because you allow these coaches to come in. You hire these coaches. And you understand that your institution – the Nick Saban Rehabilitation Institution or
clinic.
Yeah. You know, eventually these men are going to get jobs other places. They're going to get head coaching jobs because people look at your program and they want to be like your program. So they're going to go and poach, from your stock. They're going to say, oh, you coach with Nick Saban? Can you coach out? Can you be the head football coach? So it's going to be this revolving door with you and your program. The way you stop that from happening is stop losing.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen.
Right.
But I understand in a sense what Nick is saying that, okay, I understand you're going to leave and take a head coaching job. That's fine.
And I helped you get that job.
I understand that. I know eventually this is what you want to do, aspire to do is to be a head coach. But while you're walking out the door, don't take that assistant, and that assistant to try to dismantle everything that I got on your way out. Build your coaching staff. But Nick got to understand. I understand what he's saying, but
it's
Nick
got
to understand.
Dude.
Yeah,
it's real
Nick
life,
has to
man.
Understand. If I take a job somewhere else, I want the best people on my staff. And if the best people on my staff is on your staff and I've got to know these people.
And he wants to come work for me?
And be friends, then, hey, if you.
Right. I
can't stop them from coming. So, I can say, hey, do you want to come? It's up to them then to say yes or no.
I respect someone. Like listening to Bill and Saban and talk about that, that neither one of them would poach off each other's coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that about them a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's admirable. I also think it's not the norm. I don't think it's the norm. I don't think you can expect, like, the world is too cutthroat. Everyone's looking out for self-preservation. Everyone's trying to, you know, win their own championship or keep their own company running or have the best people work for them, no matter what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. So I think it's impossible to ask of greater, you know, of all of society to say, well, you know, have a moral compass here and do the right thing and don't try to take one of my coaches out of the sheer kindness of your heart. Because that's all it would be, right?
Yeah.
It's just out of respect. Out of respect for me, don't take somebody. Well, if Jeremy Pruitt's like, look, dude, defensive back coach, you know, coach whoever, it's coaching DBs, he's the best defensive back coach that I know. I want him to come coach at Tennessee, and he wants to come coach at Tennessee. How do you stop those adult people from doing what's in their own best interest? So I just don't think you can stop the practice. I respect not doing it, but it doesn't make Jeremy Pruitt a bad guy for wanting to build the best possible staff. It doesn't make Kirby Smart. Now, if you're doing some shady recruiting stuff on the way out, that's different. That's different. If you're going like, hey, five-star defensive back, Nick Saban doesn't like you that much. Come play for Georgia instead. That's shady. That's some low-down stuff that's maybe not on the up and up that I would say, you know what, Kirby, I didn't like how you left. I can see how he might feel, you know, his feathers ruffled a little bit for that. But life ain't fair, man. And if a guy's a really good coach and he wants to coach with Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee and he wants to leave and go coach at Tennessee, I don't know how you stop people from doing that.
I mean,
it's the real world, man. Like, this ain't sixth grade here.
No,
you didn't act right against little Timmy, so little Timmy doesn't. He's not going to treat you. Like, this isn't grade school here, Nick. Like, millions of dollars are on the line.
I mean, you're right, and I understand what Nick Saban, you know, is saying. It would be the common courtesy would be not to take someone off.
And
my
I
staff.
Respect,
but
that.
But that's like saying, you know, LSU's offensive coordinator. If he, you know, he and Joe Brady's been working together forever, and say if they've been working together for the last 4 or 5 years, and he decides to leave, and he says, Joe, do you want to come? I expect that because he and Joe have been working closely together.
Right.
They know each other.
Like, Dave Aranda is the defensive coordinator at LSU. He is a hot commodity in the coaching world.
Uh-huh.
If he were to leave to go take a head coaching job, he would need to hire a really good offensive coordinator. If he goes to Joe Brady and says, hey, I want you to come be the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets.
Uh-huh.
Is that really out of line for Dave Aranda to try to take Joe Brady with him?
I think,
it might be disrespectful
to Coach O, but
got to do what's in your best interest here, man.
That is not disrespectful. That is different because if I'm then going to another level, if I'm going to the NFL and I say, hey, Coach, you want to come with me? Then Ed Orgeron should respect that because what does Joe Brady want? I think ultimately he wants to be an NFL offensive coordinator and then head coach.
I think so too.
So then if you're Ed Orgeron, you got to look at it like, okay, I see why he left.
So you don't like it more because it happened, it was more of like a lateral transition
exactly.
for Pruitt, like in the
Absolutely,
SEC.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I can
follow
that.
But if he went off to the NFL and he took a guy with him, that's different to me.
I guess he's still not on your coaching staff, though, either way.
But everybody, a lot of coaches aspire to get in the NFL.
I know. I just think you got to realize, like, it's the real world, man. Like,
no,
people are going to do what's in their own best interest. And, you know, if XYZ employee leaves from XYZ company and wants to bring two other people with him because he or she thinks that's the best way that they're going to be successful in business, and that's what the other people want to do, too, how do you stop them? I mean, I'm not saying it's fair, Nick, but guess what?
No, it's not.
Mama taught me life ain't fair. Your phone calls when we return, and then also Nick Saban taking some shots at players as well. Taking some shots at players.
Oh, Nicky.
Never. He always has something to say about something.
Nicky, old Nick Saban. You're so fine. You blow my mind, Nicky.
Go to break, Marquise. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 7 to 9:30 a.m., followed by the NFL pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders, live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Houston Texans. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Again, tweet us at 1025 underscore MD if you want to chime in on if you got broken up with on Christmas. Those are the worst story. Somebody got broken up with on Christmas a few years ago and has not dated since. That person might be in the lead right now. However, Nick Saban maybe taking a veiled shot at Jeremy Pruitt, even though I don't necessarily agree with him, and Kirby Smart for when they left trying to take coaches with them to their schools, and sort of, you know, is that appropriate behavior or not? He also took some shots at some players, I think, so we'll discuss that in just a second as Nate wants to chime in here. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, man.
I'm finally glad that we have cold weather because I was getting concerned. Anyways.
I have to agree with a Stillman tweet, which is a really weird feeling to have, so I'll get to that in a second.
Anyways, do you think Nick Saban's comments is mostly a byproduct of him not getting to the playoffs? He's frustrated and he's trying to take it out on someone?
So this was filmed. That's a good question, Nate. This looks like, in my opinion, that it was all filmed, and we can probably do some research on this. Belichick was down at Alabama's Pro Day. Obviously last year, right, before the draft. So this would have been, I don't know, Marquise, what, like February maybe? What was the pro day for Alabama last year? When do they have those pro days, Marquise? Do you know? When do they have Alabama? Marquise is not listening. When do they have Alabama's pro days? Probably in February?
Yeah, it's usually like in March.
March? Okay.
It's like March, April.
It looks like this whole thing was shot in March because it starts out with Bill Belichick and Nick Saban. Again, the HBO documentary, Art of Coaching. Great watch if you got a chance to watch it. They start out at the pro day talking about players, and he's talking about Jonah Williams. Like, it's really interesting. And then they're in Saban's house talking. So it looks like a lot of this was shot at that time during that trip. And so I would say this has nothing to do with missing the playoff. It looks like it was all shot in March. So it looks like it was a little bit older. So I don't think it has anything to do with the playoff. Now, his comments about players, Derek, he's taken some shots at players not playing in bowl games. That is about his team not making the playoff.
Yeah, I think because obviously, Nick, by them losing two games, they're not making the college football playoffs. But they're still one of the top-ranked teams in the country, and they will face the University of Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. They're 13, Michigan's 14. That's going to be a good matchup. But because Nick Saban has these potential, you know, whether it be first-round draft pick, second-round draft pick, but potential NFL players on his roster, there might be a handful of guys that opt out of this bowl game. Most notable, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith.
They got a lot of money sitting there, man.
Alex Leatherwood.
There's like eight or nine players projected
exactly.
for the first round.
Najee Harris, Terrell Lewis. So he has a bunch of guys, Tua Tagovailoa, which he wouldn't be able to play anyway because of his injury. But they have a bunch of guys that potentially can opt out of the bowl games. And Nick expressed some displeasure with it, but then he understands that, you know, this is the new college football. It hasn't happened to his program, and he said that. He said, you know, for them, he said, well, I'm sure the guys are going to make individual decisions based on their circumstances and their situation. But we want to focus on the guys who want to look to the future and look to try to improve themselves as players and improve our team in getting back to the standards that we want to play. So what he's basically saying, listen, we're not concentrating on those guys. You know, what they do is what they do. He's also said that, listen, if a guy opts to play in a playoff game but opts out of a bowl game, then maybe that says something about
now the
individual.
The NFL draft and the GMs They don't care. Nick Bosa didn't play at all his final season.
No, you're right.
And was a top pick. You have Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey sitting out bowl games. Top 10 picks.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL doesn't care, guys. We have this conversation every year, and I find myself going, what are you talking about? Like Saban here, or fans that are like, oh, you don't have respect for the sanctity of the bowl game. Why don't you play for your teammates? You're quitting. No, you're not.
No.
You're making a business decision. What is the – now, look, I have no problem if you choose to play. You're the one taking the risk. It's your body. And if you want to play with your teammates, Juwan Jennings, right? Juwan mm-hmm. Jennings. I don't think he's got a huge paycheck on the line for Tennessee. I don't think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. But if he can't, if he tears an ACL in the Gator Bowl, that's going to affect his draft stock because he won't be able to work out. He won't be able to run. He won't be able to show scouts what he can do. And if this is a guy who's like a fringe, like let's say third round pick or whatever,
I see him as a third.
Let's say he's a third or fourth round pick. Let's say high third round pick. There's good money to be made in the mm-hmm. second round and the third round of the NFL. But if you tear your ACL in a Gator Bowl against Indiana, which means absolutely nothing to the grand mm-hmm. scheme of your career. Now, it may mean something to you personally, and you want to play in that game. And if you want to play in that game and put that risk on yourself, that's cool. That's your prerogative. But if Juwan Jennings comes out and says, listen, I love the University of Tennessee, but I've got to make a business decision for myself mm-hmm. and for my family and my future, and I've got to start training so that I can elevate my stock and not risk dropping from a late second, early third to a fifth-round pick or sixth-round pick, I can't risk that. That's his decision. It's his career. Who are we to tell him what he should do?
Yeah, and what's crazy about it is we never get on the coaches who don't coach in bowl games because they took another job because that's a business decision.
Mike Morvell.
Yeah, Chip Kelly basically left Cincinnati, took the Notre Dame job, left during the bowl
Brian Kelly,
and left the media days and let them get destroyed by Florida in the bowl game. So it's just like, it's cool for coaches to do it, and it's a business decision.
He wouldn't have stopped Tim Tebow anyway, but that's not the point, though. The point is that he left. Like, Mike Norvell just left Memphis in the biggest game in Memphis history. The biggest game in Memphis history might be this Cotton Bowl, or at least from a brand standpoint. And he's like, it's a tough decision, guys. I'm sorry, but I have to go coach Florida State because it's not fair to the kids.
I don't blame Norvell for doing that.
Signing day's next week.
Yeah, and I'm sure the athletic director was like, listen, we need to get somebody in here too.
Yeah.
So you can go and it expedites our decision process or our, how we go about looking for a head coach because we got to recruit too.
Right.
So you go with your team, we hire our head coach, and we can start the recruiting process. Here's what Nick Saban did say, what he did say during the teleconference on Sunday, the Citrus Bowl media teleconference. He says, the opportunity to play in the bowl is a privilege and a honor, pointing out that this was an opportunity for his players to sort of show who we are and try to get back to playing to the Alabama standards.
He just doesn't want to lose to Michigan.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He's just couching it. That's all he is.
Talk about that because
he's just couching it.
And we could probably talk about it more on the other side, but that's really the biggest thing with him this year.
He knows a 10-3 record doesn't look good.
Yeah.
That's it. And losing to Harbaugh, that's not going to sit well. That's all it is. He's just trying to avoid a loss to Harbaugh. That's all it is to me. Come on. If Jerry Jeudy, what is Jerry Jeudy going to do with a Citrus Bowl? Jerry Jeudy competes for national championships.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make a fortune. Why would Jerry Jeudy play in that game? That makes no sense to me.
No, you're right.
We'll continue to discuss this. Pred's back on the ice as well. We've got a ton of Titans talk to discuss as well. Legendary status, practice report, all that stuff out for the Tennessee Titans. Joe Rexroad going to join us top of the hour. But we'll continue this conversation. And then Pred's back on the ice tonight against Buffalo. So we'll get to that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link studio powered by RumbleOn.com. That's good right there. You knew I was going to like that.
I did. I know what y'all like, man.
That's good stuff right there. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And again, tweet at 102.5_MD with your best breakup story, or worst breakup story, I should say, around the Christmas holiday. We'll give away a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. Had a few people. One girl is not dating anymore after a breakup a couple years ago on Christmas. One girl moved from Orlando to Middle Tennessee to be with the guy. And then a year later on Christmas, he broke up with her. That's pretty brutal. So we'll see if we can give away one of these gift cards and make somebody's bad experience turn into a positive here. Preds back on the ice tonight. I know there's some more conversation to be had about Nick Saban. Lots of conversation about the Tennessee Titans coming up next hour. Joe Rexroth going to join us here in just a few minutes. But the Preds are back on the ice. A tough road trip, just a real quick jaunt up to Buffalo and back. Pre-game at 5, puck drop at 6, so an hour earlier. Those of us who get up early in the morning love that. And then a Dallas Stars team coming to Bridgestone on Saturday. And you look at these two games, Derek, after playing very well, well enough to get wins, I should say, against New Jersey and then San Jose, two teams that aren't good, the schedule gets a lot tougher. And the ship has been righted. You're 5-1-2 in your last eight. If you can go on the road and play a good Buffalo team who's second in the division, who's also very good at home, and you can play well tonight, I think you start to really build some confidence as a team. You know, Kyle Turris is back in the lineup playing well. Mm-hmm. Granlund back in the lineup on Tuesday playing well. You're getting scoring from sort of up and down the roster. Third, fourth lines are giving you, I guess, secondary scoring, you'd call it. Saros is great. Rene wins a couple of games.
Benito's playing well.
Yeah, things are starting to fall back into place a little bit, but you got to sustain. Mm-hmm. And coming up, I think these next six games before the Winter Classic are critical because you've got a tough team against Buffalo tonight on the road. You got Dallas coming to town on Saturday, and then four straight on the road in an Eastern Conference swing by and large. It is going to be a very difficult six-game stretch.
Yeah, it will be. But I think the Predators are starting to put things together. The power play was excellent. The power kill, I mean, penalty kill was excellent. They are getting contribution from guys that need to step up. And then their marquee players are playing. They're starting to get better play inside, you know, between the pipes. So this team is starting to, you know, slowly climb out of the hole they dug themselves. And I'm sure they want to end the season end the year on a good note.
Well, you want to be going into your showcase
exactly.
New Year's Day Winter Classic game.
Absolutely.
Playing really good hockey. Not that it's more important than any other game, but there's a lot of focus on that game.
Yeah, there is. And I think that can propel them, you know, to, you know, putting themselves back in a position to be one of the top teams in at least in the Western Conference. But it seems like they sort of, you know, got themselves back on track after that 7-game losing streak. They've garnered some points here, and what they need to do as the year ends, heading into the Winter Classic, is no matter what, they need to get points. They need to a point or two. They need to get points moving forward because they need to stay on pace where they're not falling behind, you know, further from the top two or three.
Right.
If they can just keep themselves on pace to slowly climb up in the playoff ranks, because that's ultimately what you're doing this for, is to put yourself in a position come the last month of the season
to be playing your best.
Exactly.
Right. So there is a lot more hockey after that road trip. Again, the road trip, you get the New York swing with the Rangers, who are not all that great, but the Islanders are in second place right now in their division. Ottawa's not all that great, but Boston's the best team in the East. I think the second best team in the East, leading their division. So it's not going to be an easy swing here. Buffalo, Dallas, New York, Ottawa, Boston. Then you come home and you get Arizona, Pittsburgh, and then on the road against Pittsburgh before you play Dallas. So it's a really brutal month of December. A really tough stretch of games. It's not going to be easy. And so, listen, you're 6 points back at Dallas. You got three games in hand. It's a little early to start talking, you know, about playoff stuff. I think it's more about how you feel about the team and how they're playing. The special teams have not been great. Like, let's just call it what it is. The penalty kill and the power play are in the bottom third of the league right now. They've shown some signs of life, but those two areas are always something, right? Like, even when they're playing well, you're sort of looking at it going, man, this area needs to be addressed. And that's just sort of the nature of a hockey season. This is a tough road trip. I mean, you got just the game tonight is a tough game. Dallas at 5:30 on Saturday, early start time, a little weird, but you're chasing them. And then you go on a four-game road trip before you then come back and face Arizona and Pittsburgh. It is a brutal month of December, so you're going to have to start adding points together quickly.
Yeah, and we know as the season starts to wind down, as you start to get into the second half of the season, they don't get easier. They get harder because now everyone's pushing, and then you have more injuries,
yep,
and your team's tired. So, you know, we've seen this where they built up a lot of equity, you know, at the beginning, and then they've had some injuries. But because they built up a lot of equity, the injuries didn't hurt them as much.
Right.
Well, now it's kind of flipped, and they got to work themselves out of it.
Well, and you talked a little bit about how this team is playing without Victor Arvidsson yesterday, and they're learning to sort of play without him. He got injured in the Saturday game against St. Louis on the road. I think that was the 23rd of November. So come this Saturday against Dallas, that'll be 3 weeks. And the projected time frame for him was 4 to 6.
Uh-huh.
So you're getting closer to where you can start asking questions like, hey, is he getting close to coming back or is
he
not?
Do you think he will be back? Because you got, 2 weeks before the Winter Classic?
I mean, that would be right at about the 5-week mark, the Winter Classic. So that's right in the middle of the time frame.
So maybe I wouldn't rush it back, but if they could have him for the Winter Classic, that'd be great.
I
wouldn't rush it back.
I know you want to have him for that game. I don't care. I want him fully.
Yeah.
I want him fully healthy.
No. You're right because you're looking at the big picture.
And again, who plays in that game? Obviously, you want your big stars out there because it's a marquee showcase on New Year's Day. Like it's a huge deal, but you don't want to risk that for a Stanley Cup championship. What you want is Victor Arvidsson healthy for the playoffs and. We know that he's a guy who takes a beating because he's in the dirty areas. He doesn't care about his body at all, and he's willing to get hurt, and he gets hurt because he's small. And that's the way, you know, we're talking about Lamar Jackson being injured right now. What have we always said about Lamar Jackson? Well, if you're going to run a lot as a quarterback, you're going to get hurt.
You're susceptible to being injured.
If you're going
to
be a little guy who plays with reckless abandon in the NHL in the dirty areas, you're going to get hurt. Like, that's just the nature of the game. And so I don't think you force him back for the Winter Classic.
Well,
and I don't think they will.
I don't think they will. I think they will hold him out. He will come back when he's ready to come back.
Right.
But the good part about this is guys stepping up. Guys that they have brought up, they've contributed.
Kelly Yarncroke has flourished in the top two lines. He's on pace. He's averaging like 0.7 points per game, which is like more than double than what he had last year. He's already outscored his goal total from last year. He's got 11 goals this year. He had 10 last year. He's on pace to shatter all of his career highs because he's been placed in a top situation to succeed, and now he's sort of forced to being up. Now, he was up there before when Lavi was sort of messing with the lines a little bit, and you know, they put Jofa back together, then Arvidsson gets hurt, and Kelly Yarncroke slides right in, and he's been fine. He's not as good as Victor Arvidsson, let's be clear, but he's had a really nice role and has played well in that situation.
Is this the smarts of Lavi? And I say that because when he's tinkering with lineups early on, preseason, early in the season, he's tinkering with these lineups, seeing what works, and everybody's wondering, is this guy going to be on the first line? Is he going to be the second line? What is Peter doing? You know, what's going on here? But I think it's him, like all good coaches, foreshadowing. You know, what if one of my guys go down? I have to be prepared to put a Yarncroke in the second line, or elevate a guy to the first line that hadn't played the first line since he's been here.
Right.
But because we used him in the preseason to kind of mess around, and it worked, so to speak.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Peter his smarts or his, because he's such a good coach that, I'm going
to
do this early on case.
Dude, it's a physical game. Like, it's a war of attrition in the NHL, just like football.
Uh-huh.
It's whoever's healthiest and standing up, whoever has the most dudes standing at the end of the thing is generally who's playing really well and is going to win it all. And health is such a determining factor in both the NFL and the NHL. You have to assume guys are going to get hurt in the NHL. Yeah.
No, you're right.
And in the playoffs in particular, you have to assume at least one guy. I always just say you're going to lose one guy per round. It may not be an important piece. It may be a lesser piece or whatever. But you just have to assume that you're going to lose a player per round in the NHL playoffs. And we saw that when they got to the Stanley Cup. Every round, Kevin Fiala, Ryan Johansson, Mike Fisher was banged up. it's just you're going to lose guys as you go deeper into the playoffs. Now, Kyle Turris being back has been interesting as well. 16 minutes of ice time against Tampa, had the goal and the assist, of course, a huge part of getting a point in that game. 18 minutes against the Devils, and then was playing on the wing against San Jose, which was interesting. But they can move him around. Lavi can have him play center one night, play center one shift, play center one period. He can move it all around with Kyle Turris as long as he's giving him what he expects out of Kyle Turris. So he's been back now for three games. We'll see what the lineup looks like. Mm-hmm. Both goaltenders are playing well right now. We'll see what that looks like. The defense played really well through two periods against San Jose. Not a great team right now. Much bigger challenge tonight against Buffalo.
Oh, of course.
Much bigger challenge. Second place team and very good at home. It's going to be an interesting game. Again, pregame at 5, puck drop at 6, a little earlier tonight. So there you go. Lots of Titans talk coming up next hour. Still going to give away that $100 gift card, so keep tweeting at 1025_MD. Joe Rexroad from The Athletic when we return right here on Morning Drive.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza. Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.